It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Monday the 29th of April 2024. This is for professional investors only. Never ever investment advice. Now, speculation overnight that Ministry of Finance in Japan has finally intervened in the Japanese yen. This was in the middle of thin trading on a Japanese public holiday. So to start with, the yen was very, very weak, sliding below 160 to the US dollar before a sudden mega rally of 4 yen to about 156. Now, the government hasn't confirmed that it did intervene, but it currently feels like it, to be honest. So interesting there, and it's also looking to be an interesting and significant week generally for markets, with Friday's non-farm payroll number in the States, the data highlight. We also have FOMC Fed meeting in the middle of the week, but non-farm payroll, the market is going for 250,000 jobs created in April. That would be the highest forecast from the market since October 2022. Remember, March's number was 303,000, way ahead of expectations. Remember, though, also that the higher rate of jobs creation is likely in part a function of unexpectedly high immigration into the US, boosting growth in the working age population. I mentioned the Brookings Institute paper recently, which suggested that maybe economists had missed a trick over the past year or so, and that they should have really increased their non-farm payroll guesses by about 50,000 jobs per month to account for all the immigration. Well, adding to that, another of the big Washington think tanks, the Peterson Institute, put out a new paper suggesting, trying to estimate how much inward migration had been. It's quite hard to get an accurate number. One way of doing it is they look at interactions with law enforcement and other agencies and kind of scale up from that. But they say that in 2019, around 500,000 people migrated into the US. But in 2022 and 2023, the average was around 3 million, so six times as many as before COVID. And they expect a similar number in 2024. In their view, this raises trend growth in the United States, and this higher potential growth rate can mean that you can have strong growth, strong real growth, without inflation reaccelerating. Market doesn't quite buy that yet, so last week wasn't a good one for duration. 10-year bunds in Europe, for instance, went above 2.5% for the first time since November. But credit has had decent strength last week. If we look at the credit indices, US investment grade dollar bonds were about 5 basis points tighter on average, and the high yield market about 20 basis points tighter. So US investment grade now trades at a spread of 102 basis points. Now, we have, though, despite this recent strength last week in investment grade spreads, seen the first market outflows in investment grade bond funds for the market since last October. So we've been on inflows since then, as people have kind of bought the, you know, good entry point for bonds in both spread and the underlying government bond levels. But perhaps some people have started to lose a bit of faith in that, and we've seen some outflows for the market as a whole. You know, as I say, perhaps due to price falls. I've just seen a Goldman Sachs note come through my email this morning suggesting that pension funds rather than mutual funds are looking to go back into investment grade credit in a much bigger way in the United States, selling some highly valued equities to go into lowly valued bonds, where the all-in yields for credit look really quite attractive. Okay, let's move on and talk about gold. I mean, you can't talk about gold without remembering the character from the Austin Powers films. It feels like a kind of thing from the past in some ways. But we're going to talk about that in a second. But I'll quickly, while I remember, I want to talk about front page of The Guardian There is, just quickly to note, a story about Thames Water which claims that, quote, senior Whitehall officials fear Thames Water collapse could trigger a rise in government borrowing costs not seen since the Liz Truss mini-budget. And it also claims that the Debt Management Office also fears that damage is being done to the perceptions of UK PLC. So that's just something else going on that you know, could be bond market worthy later on if it transpires. All right, gold. This is one of the two asset classes that you can't avoid at the moment. It's all over the financial press. It's all over the personal finance sections of all the Sunday papers. One is gold, obviously. The other is India. And India featured heavily in this week's Sunday Times weekend finance section, but also on the front page of The Economist. All very positive about prospects for Indian assets, Indian GDP, etc., etc., thanks to those demographic changes and strong economic growth that we talked about here on a blog, not on a podcast, very long ago. Do worry, of course. Makes you a bit nervous when something appears on the front page of The Economist, thanks to that famous Economist front cover curse, where exactly the opposite thing happens to the asset class as predicted on the front page of The Economist. So maybe we should be a bit worried. But nevertheless, India getting half the love. The other half of the love is going into gold. And the reason it's getting so much attention at the moment is, well, as my colleague Rob Burrows shows in a recent Bond Vigilantes blog, where he talks about what's going on in the gold market at the moment, we've seen a 16% rally in gold since the start of the year, and that means that finally gold has resumed its very, very, very long-term inflation hedging properties. And just how poor those inflation hedging properties are, you know, can be seen by going back to the mid-1980s. There's a chart on that blog that shows that gold really has been a useless inflation hedge until 2004. It was an inflation hedge again for about 5 years, but then from 2009, for the decade after that to 2019, there was no relationship or a poor or inverse relationship between gold and inflation. Since then, though, since COVID, we have caught up CPI. So if you did a long-term price level chart and plotted gold against it, since the mid-80s, finally gold has overtaken the price level. And so, you know, its inflation hedging properties, never in doubt, it's back doing its job. But of course, inflation, as you can see by those long-term trends, isn't really the only driver of gold prices. And it has been an imperfect hedge for inflation. The thing that I found interesting in Rob's blog was he points out that usually gold prices and bond yields are inversely related, and that makes a lot of sense. So when real yields are high, why would you want to own a zero, or once you've stored it somewhere in a vault, a negative yielding asset like gold? So the higher bond yields are, the more you lose out by owning gold. When bond yields are negative, as they got to in Switzerland, Japan, many areas of the world in the COVID years, then gold becomes attractive again because you're not losing anything. You may even have a positive carry pickup by owning something with a zero yield in terms of gold. So normally this is inverse relationship, but at the moment we don't have that inverse relationship. Yields are high and rising, and that's true of real yields and nominal yields, yet gold is rallying. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. So why is gold so popular in a world where real yields are high? I think worth quickly pointing out, Rob's not the only one writing about gold. Another good note from UBS, Andrew Garthwaite, who's their equity strategist, and Joni Tevez, who's their gold strategist, gives a couple of, well, six reasons. I'm just going to quickly whiz through them to finish up today's podcast, why gold is higher and higher at the moment, despite the rise in real yields. Number one, central bank diversification. So they're all buying it at the moment. Why? Well, geopolitical risks around the world. Also, people talking about US fiscal risks. You know, if you're Japan or China and you're very, very long of US treasuries, but you worry about what the implications of higher borrowing levels might be. Maybe it's time to diversify some of your bond holdings into something more risk off. So, you know, central banks have been buying gold. Secondly, speculation that inflation targets could rise. What if central banks, in their words, go soft on inflation, raise the inflation target from 2 to 3, then maybe gold's a good hedge in a world where you get that kind of inflation target shock. I doubt that's anyone's central target, but whether or not they explicitly change inflation targets, we're certainly seeing inflation, central banks miss inflation targets. Next up, number three, macro headwinds become tailwinds. So, you know, if the economy goes into recession and the Fed starts cutting, maybe people are buying gold in anticipation that real yields are going to come down aggressively in a weak economy. Number four, gold is technically cheap despite the rally. They say it's 40% below its inflation adjusted peak and cheap relative to equities too. Number five, oh my god, it's crypto. So gold is a substitute for crypto, safe haven. I'm very much doing the air quotes here, you can't see me, but I am. So gold is a kind of substitute for crypto and plays in that kind of space. So as crypto goes up, gold goes up with it. And then six, positioning for a catch-up. So everyone is short gold and therefore needs to buy some. There you go. That's it for today. Have good weeks. I'll be back in touch if the FOMC does anything interesting. Bye.